Well, it may be from one of his best-selling books. Well, perhaps you've heard him on EWTN or even Catholic Answers. Well, Rod Bennett is an author of the best-selling book, Four Witnesses, The Early Church in Her Own Words. It's a modern classic of Catholic apologetics. His other books include The Apostasy That Wasn't, The Christus Experiment, and Scripture Wars. Coming out, well, he's got another book, and he is joining us today to talk more about some of his recent writings. Catholic author Rod Bennett joining us today in studio. Good morning, Rod. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning. It's a beautiful morning, and I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you so much. First, for our listeners, how did your travels bring you to the Pacific Northwest today?
Well, I have two friends here who, very old friends. Well, I'm not saying they're very old, but we've been friends for a long time, and I like to come out and see them from time to time. So we've got a few things to do in the area, and I'm spending a few days with old friends.
Oh, wonderful. Old friendships are the best friendships.
Yes.
Not only do they just kind of lift your spirits, they just really do, I like to think, reveal a lot about myself because of the good friends that I have around me. Well, Rod, we are so grateful for your time today and for joining us. So for our listeners, tell us a little bit about your background and what was your faith upbringing that allowed you to write such beautiful Catholic apologetics now?
Well, as some of you may be able to discern from my voice, I'm not from around here.
No, you are not.
I live in Tennessee. I live in the Great Smoky Mountains of Eastern Tennessee, and that's where my family's from. I was raised in Southern Baptist churches, but spent time in other evangelical groups. Was an evangelical missionary, foreign missionary for a while, and was also a kind of a home church pastor. So, my roots are in another form of Christianity, so I guess you might call me a convert.
We will call you that convert, at least to the Catholic faith. Now, how did you find a home then to come, we'll say, back to the Catholic
Church? Well, goodness, it's a long story, and that really is what all of my books are about.
Okay.
But it's to make a long story short, I've always been a bit of a history bug.
Okay.
And the gaps in Protestant history became obvious to me. After a while, we heard a lot about the early church. We heard a little bit about the age of the early Christians. We didn't know much about that, really. Then we jumped 1,500 years into the future to Martin Luther and John Calvin and the Protestant reformers. So for a guy who's history-minded, and it was always an interest, you know, a bookworm reading history, you thought, well, you know, what were the Christians doing during this this enormous millennium and a half of time,
sure.
You know, where were the histories, the heroes, where were the villains, all the rest of it? You know, it was just a big blank spot on the map for most even, and still is for most evangelicals. And I certainly had not been encouraged to go look into all of that. But eventually by a providential route, I discovered the writings of the early church fathers, discovered that contrary to what I'd always believed, that we have many thousands of pages of testimony that survives to this day from the Christians who came immediately after the apostles. So I began to discover people like Clement of Rome and Ignatius of Antioch, Justin Martyr, Hermas, Hippolytus, the earliest Christian writers whose writings have survived other than the New Testament. And that was like dropping down the rabbit hole for me, because to discover that I could pick up a book and I could read writings from the Christians immediately after the apostles, I had no idea there was any such thing, you know?
Wow.
And you began to realize as you read that they weren't ambiguous about what they believed in. Their faith was no mystery. And they testified to a lot of their ways of interpreting Scripture that didn't necessarily line up with what I had come to believe as an evangelical Christian. And that's when the search began.
Catholic apologist and author Rod Bennett joining us today, talking to us a little bit about his conversion and his books that he has written, some wonderful Catholic books that have really inspired so many people. Rod, before you became Catholic and then you kind of started authoring these books, had you been writing books through the lens of your Baptist upbringing?
No, my Four Witnesses was my first book.
It was the first.
I had written for magazine. I had written for, I had published articles and things of that type, but Four Witnesses was the first book. I had an idea that I would be an author one day when I was a child, but it took, well, I was, Four Witnesses came out in 02, so I was 42 years old when my first book appeared. So.
Wow, that is phenomenal. For anybody listening thinking, well, where is God leading me? Well, just don't be surprised if it's completely different in your later years of life than when you thought when you first graduated.
And that it happens at his pace, not yours.
Absolutely. So you decided to write this wonderful book, Four Witnesses. How did you kind of go about deciding, well, this is the book, and now I'm going to start writing? How did it all kind of come together?
It was my way of telling my conversion story. It was my way of trying to help other people have something like the same experience that I had, the same aha moment of discovery that we do know what the early church was like. You don't have to guess. You don't have to speculate. It's all there in black and white. I tried to help other people have that same experience. So I said, how would you best do that? So I picked out four of the earliest Christian writers, and told their stories as if I were writing a novel almost. There are a lot of totally factual quotes in the book, but I wanted to speak to the heart as well as to the head.
Sure.
And so I tell it, I guess I do have a little bit of a knack for storytelling. So I was able to take something which for most people probably would be a dry subject, you know, a lot of the writings are sort of locked up in old-timey Victorian translations that are difficult for modern readers. I guess I was able to do it just because I read up too many old books, but I translated it, so to speak, for people so that they could have something like the same experience I had.
Do all of your books have that same feel to them, meaning that they are based in fact and history, but written in a way that kind of flows the way that a story would flow, really the life of the church?
Yeah, that's what it is. I guess I'm a frustrated novelist. I did write one novel, but nobody was interested in it.
Oh,
so,
goodness.
So the other books are kind of the early church fathers presented with storytelling devices so that people could get engaged with it.
Well, apparently Four Witnesses weren't enough, because just in late last year, you came up with an addition to that, Four More Witnesses. Tell our listeners about who else you found to tell this story.
Well, that's right. I got enough requests from people saying, gee, are there any more stories like this? And I said, well, yeah, we could probably do Four More Witnesses. We might do more than that. So I followed the same method I did with the first one. I tried to get the earliest Christian writers whose works have survived in any intact enough and in enough of a quantity that you could actually make a story, you know,
okay,
that you could tell something like a real biography. And so the next four, who are Hermas and Clement of Alexandria and Hippolytus and Origen, they're really the next four chronologically. So that it was a pretty simple matter to see who to address next. So I just had to study enough and research enough their lives and topics to be able to tell the story in a kind of a conversational way.
Oh,
so
I love that.
That's what it was about.
Every life has a story, and, well, you have definitely captured four more in your latest book. Rod, there is more we want to talk about. Of course, there's another book on the pipeline coming down, ready just in time for Lent, and I want to talk about that, but I am coming up against my break. Will you stay with me through the break, and we can continue our conversation in the next half hour?
I'd love to do that.
I am continuing now my conversation with author Rod Bennett. Rod is joining us today all the way from the beautiful state of Tennessee in studio to talk a little bit about his writing process and his great books that he has authored through many publishing houses. Rod, thank you so much for staying with us today.
It's great. Yeah, I'm enjoying your company.
Rod, now you have these early church fathers that you really rely on that have really brought you to your conversion and that you write your books about, but are there saints that you also find whose lives you find inspiration in?
Well, when I came into the church, I chose St. Augustine as my patron, a famous convert.
Yes. Now, why is that? What about Augustine? And oftentimes, I guess we'd say the saint finds you.
Yeah, we'll maybe so. Yeah,
he found you.
One of the early fathers, of course. They're sort of my speciality. But also a man who went on a long conversion process. Mine took 10 years.
Okay.
I've told my friends this week that my when my wife first announced that both of us were going to become Catholic. She was Presbyterian and I was a Baptist. She told her mother that we were going to become Catholic.
How'd that go over?
Not too well.
Okay.
That was news to me because this was 5 years before we became Catholic, and I was right in the middle of my struggle with Catholicism.
Okay.
But she somehow blithely confessed that we were going to become Catholic, so, and we did. But it was a struggle. It was a long, I think my conversion process was 10 years long.
Wow.
People sometimes say, well, Rod, have you been to seminary, or are you a trained historian? Just a layman, really. But I tell people that I know the Catholic faith sort of the way that Lee knew Grant. That's from tussling with him for 40 years. It was a fight and a struggle. I learned the ways of the Catholic faith while trying to avoid the net, I suppose.
Okay.
And that's Augustine. Same story.
Same story.
Tried not to be converted for a long time, and so did I.
Well, blessed we all are that you did have this conversion story, and you really write and share that in your books. Now, you have, just at the end of last year, 4 more witnesses came out, and now, just in time for Lent, These 12. Tell us about your new book.
Well, These 12 is a book, the subtitle is The Gospel Through the Apostles' Eyes. So It was a thought experiment. Apostolicity, the idea, we confess in the creed that we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. What do we mean by an apostolic church? When we say that the church is apostolic, what are we confessing?
Mm.
And so in evangelical churches and other types of Christianity, it's not common. The church isn't really thought of as apostolic. The apostles were important in the sense that they were the first Christians, and God used them to write the New Testament down. But beyond that, that's about the only role they had for the 12. Whereas the New Testament itself says that when we get to heaven, we're going to see their names written on the pillars of the 12, the 12 pillars of the New Jerusalem. You know, what on earth can these 12, you know, humble fishermen have done to get their names written on the pillars of heaven? And that's the thought process. So I thought, you know, let's explore that. And in this book, we'll try to think our way through what encountering Jesus was like through the eyes of one of these men. In other words, what was it like to become one of the 12 apostles?
Okay.
And how did they understand what was happening to them and what Christ was trying to turn them into? How did they understand that? So I've described the book as a kind of a thought experiment of going back through the Gospels and trying to see it as it must have seemed as it happened to them.
Rod, the 12 apostles, and of course we know so much through the 4 Gospels within our own book. Now their journey, as all of our journey, will be based on their upbringing, their place and time in the world, and how Christ kind of brought them through. Their individual stories, are those the way that you kind of bring them forward in your new book? I mean, how do you know and understand each of the 12?
Right.
Through writing?
A lot of that, you might be surprised. People who haven't studied the Gospels carefully maybe have an idea that we know an awful lot of their biography from there, but really it isn't. Only about half of the apostles do or say anything in the Gospels. The others are just names on a list. We can deduce a few things from the names, and we can pick up a few factoids from the rest of the New Testament, the epistles and so forth. But some of it depends upon extra-biblical traditions saved after the writing of the New Testament. Some of it can be figured out from the area, the places they lived, where they came from, and all the rest of it. But we get enough clues about who they were and about what we should have expected Jesus's ambassadors to be like from studying Old Testament prophecy. So all of that together is enough to put together an interesting story and a illuminating narrative, I think.
Rod, in writing this book, were there things that you discovered about any of these apostles that you went, wait, I didn't know that before, or something that you went, I can relate to that?
Right. Yes. There's an awful lot of that. And the unexpected things that are sort of contrary to popular opinion. most of us have an idea when we hear that they were humble fishermen. I'm sure that they were. They certainly had a saintly character, or they would not have been picked for the job that they were picked for. But we also sometimes have the idea that, you know, because the Gospels just present them as they're fishing, they're mm-hmm. in their boats, the Lord comes along and says, follow me. We imagine that purely ordinary working men were picked and turned into something they weren't before. But that has been a little overstated. We know from the writings of the historian Josephus and from other sources that the place where these fishermen lived was sort of the crossroads of the ancient world. The traders of Phoenicia were nearby. And so they lived historically, we learned that every synagogue in Galilee had a synagogue school. Young men were taught to read Greek. They were taught not just Jewish subjects, but other things. So they were, every Jewish working man in Galilee probably was a lot sharper than the popular notion and more educated. But also, I learned that John the Baptist's influence was probably very, very strong amongst the men picked to be apostles. Some of them we know for a fact had been his disciples before they were Jesus' disciples.
Okay.
So they had been in training by a man whom Christ himself called the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist.
Okay.
They graduated from John's school into Jesus' school, if you see what I'm saying.
I love it.
So yep. They already, Jesus did not pick, he could have, obviously, just picked raw material, you know, ignorant working man, but he didn't, apparently. Apparently, he picked people that not only knew theology to some degree, but had been discipled by a man, I won't say almost as great as his Lord, but Jesus himself gives us permission to say that John was the greatest man ever born until Jesus himself came along. Oh. And so these disciples, apparently most of them, there's good historical reasons to believe that most of them had already been discipled at a very great school of faith before they ever came into Jesus' service. So that's an angle that I hadn't quite been aware of, hadn't quite thought out yet. And the Old Testament was a preparation for Messiah in a very specific way there. John made Christ's path straight. He prepared disciples for him and then handed them over to Jesus.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, perfect. And yeah, apparently between these two cousins, John the Baptist and Jesus, holiness apparently runs in families.
Yeah, so that's right. One of my chapters is called The Royal Family, and it talks about how so many of these people were blood relatives, you know, so, and the apostles as well.
Well, Rod, your book, Four More Witnesses, came out in October. Of course, now we have these 12 just in time for Lent. There must be something else just kind of in the works that you forward to.
I wrote both of those books in 1 year. That's why they're coming out, which isn't really like me. So.
Oh, okay.
But I'm a little bit worn out, so I'm taking a little bit of a break. So I don't have an immediate book in the works right now.
Well, well-deserved break indeed.
I have a couple of other ideas for books that don't necessarily fit into the categories that I'm already well known for. So those are just percolating in the back of my head somewhere.
All right. Maybe time to bring up another new novel. Well, author Rod Bennett is joining us today. You know, all of his books, they're such great resources. I encourage all of our listeners to check it out. Definitely go to one of our wonderful local Catholic bookstores. I know they would be able to get access to some of those titles. Of course, Ignatius Press has Four Witnesses and Catholic Answers coming out with your new book, These 12. Rod, I sure appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a real pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And again, that is Catholic author Rod Bennett. I will be sure to add a link to this podcast where you can find out more about Rod and some of his other titles and where you can get all of those. You can find those links on the podcast of this interview, materdeiradio.com.